Well, Di, it's another Tuesday night, and I'm excited to be here with you. And we got a great show planned tonight. So how are you doing, though? I know that's been an exciting week for you, and it's right in line with our show, too, tonight. So that's
yes,
cool.
Yes, it is, I guess. Yeah, it's been a great week. And I know it's been a challenging week for you with moving. And how horrible is moving?
Yeah, moving and just, you know, it's like the never ending story, right? But hey, you and I were talking about it tonight. It's sometimes you got to let go, you know, and seeing it something better, or just so you can have peace, right? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Loving yourself enough to let go, because it was really hard for me to move off the beach, and which brings me to our next subject. Loving yourself enough to let go, and that can be with a job, a career, a business, a man, a woman, a husband, a wife, you know, a soulmate, whatever. So I know that a lot of us have learned that lesson over the years. And I was telling someone the other day, I go, if you don't learn it, you sit there in your own place and just become more angry and more bitter. You know what I mean? And so letting go is always, always, always key. And I know you're getting ready to have a great, is it okay if we talk about that? Because I didn't even ask you. So
no.
Like, yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah, that's fine.
I know that you. I'm excited for you. And because you and I, Di's one of my best friends. She's my best friend ever. And we've co-hosted a lot of shows together. And she's a co-host here, too, as well. So but my question to you directly is that share with me and share with everybody else that's listening or listen later what it is that you're excited about this week. And you're like the perfect woman, too. So, you know, you do it all right.
I'm so not. But if I can be perfect for one man, that's all that matters. I'm so excited because I've got six days until the man that I dearly love is coming out here. And we have not seen each other for quite a long time. And it seems like we've had 8 years of really bad timing. I feel like time has worked against us since we met 8 years ago, and it wasn't right. You know, it wasn't right for both of us. And it's just amazing. You know, you reconnect, and all of a sudden it meshes. You know, it seems to mesh, and so I am so excited for him to come out and just chill and hang out with me. He's so much like me, and you know, neither one of us are people who have to be on the run all the time. And, you know, I'm very much a homebody myself, which I may be boring to some people, but I don't think it's boring to him. So I am just really excited to reconnect. And you know, I feel like the time is good. But like you were talking about the show's topic of letting go, it was the hardest thing in the world for me to move. Because I used to live in the same state as he did, and we split up, and I made the decision to move back to Colorado, where I felt at home. And that was one of the hardest things for me about leaving the state that I was in, because I was leaving him, even though we were not together at that time. You feel, you know, in the back of your mind, a lot of times you feel like that relationship can be resurrected and you want to hold out and wait. And so when I left, I felt like I was closing the door. You know, I felt like I really am letting this person go for good. But yet somewhere, you know, I still remember that long drive to Colorado, which is horribly painful drive. And you talked me through it. But I remember the one thing that kept me going was I had this vision of the life that I wanted for myself in Colorado, and I kept saying, I'm going to go to Colorado. I'm going to be living in the mountains with the man of my dreams. And, of course, deep in my heart, this was the man of my dreams that I was leaving. But I just kept saying, no, I'm going to, you know, I'm not going to put a face to this man. It's just whoever God sends me as the right man, that's who I'm going to be with. I'm going to be happy. I'm going to be in the mountains in Colorado. And so here I am, you know, like 6 years later, in the mountains in Colorado, waiting for this man of my dreams to come back and see me. So I am so excited. But boy, letting go is so hard. It's so hard.
And, let me ask you a question, you know, about that, because you letting go. So you, and I know I was on this journey with you. So, you know, did you totally say, okay, I don't want to be with you anymore, or there's someone better for me than the guy that you left 6 years ago? Did you say something like that? How did you let go? Because, I remember you and I talking about it. Yeah, and you would be so mad. You're still mad at him, right? So how did you get over the madness, the anger, and then say, you know what? I've got this place. I'm here. I'm feeding dies. You're the deer whisperer. You feed the deer. They come and eat out of your hand. So how did you do? Yeah, I know. So how did you do that? Because that's the key right there. How did you let go? How did you get started?
You know, it's such a process, and you know, with me, it's a real process because I can't just get over somebody quickly. And it was a long time. You know, it was a long time that I processed the relationship. You know, I have to sit back and stew over it. And, like, we're always playing the blame game. You know, everyone always wants to blame each other. And you can always look at them and say, well, they did this and they shouldn't have done this. And they're looking at you saying, well, you shouldn't have done this. And you really have to analyze yourself and say, you know, what was I doing that was not right? And it's just like the relationship was not right. The time wasn't not right for him. And you have to understand. That's been the hardest lesson, I think, of my life, is understanding that my time is not going to be somebody else's time. My time frame that worked for me is not going to work for somebody else. And, you know, people are in situations in their life where they're not ready. They're not ready sometimes for a really serious relationship, or they're just not ready for the kind of relationship that you want. And, you know, you let go of the anger really quickly. You let go of the pain, and you start feeling grateful for having that person in your life. And you start feeling grateful for the lessons that you learned from that relationship. But you have to spend some time processing it. You know, I think that's where people really miss out. They are so busy pointing fingers and saying, oh, they wronged me. You know, they hurt me, or you know, they made me angry or whatever. They don't stop and look at what did they learn from that, and how have they grown from that experience. And I usually, you know, am able to do that in a fairly short amount of time. I mean, I may still be grieving the relationship for a long time, but I can usually step back pretty quickly and see the lessons that I've learned from that, and the ways that I grew, and the things that I take with me. And one of the things that I took with me from... Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. No. I mean, I want to ask you a question, but I don't hear what one of the lessons is, because that's good. I want to hear that.
Well, one of the things that I took with me from him was no one's ever loved me the way he did. And it was not about my image. It wasn't about my appearances. It wasn't about anything on the surface. It was the inside of me that I knew he really loved, the authentic me, the real me, not what I look like or what kind of a job I had, or, you know, whatever other people loved about me. He loved about me the qualities that I like in me that other people don't even notice. And that was that's something that I realized when I was with him then, and really missed, you know. And especially then when you start, you know, you date other people, you're with other people, and they don't appreciate the inside of you, you really miss that other person in a lot more, because you remember them. You remember what it feels like to be really loved. And so I felt grateful for that, you know, and I would say to myself, I may never get that again, but at least I've experienced it once in this lifetime. You know, to be truly loved once in this lifetime is a gift from God. And I truly loved the inside of him. And so, you know, I finally got to the point of peace with that, where I could say, I can let you go and walk away and know I'll probably never see you again, but I feel grateful for having experienced this in my life, you know. And it's a process. It's very difficult to let go emotionally of that hope, you know, that hope that you'll be pulled back together. And you know, like I said, timing is everything. Time has never been on our side, and I feel like it finally is, and I feel overjoyed and very excited.
I like that. So let me ask you another question. Okay, so that lesson that you learned was being grateful. One of the things is grateful and having someone to love you like you've never been loved before. from the inside out, it sounds like. Okay. I know you work. Yeah. You're extremely clairvoyant, psychic too, as well. So I know you and I have worked. That's how we met, by the way. I remember that. And you work with angels. And did you work with an angel to help you heal the pain? That's something that.
Oh yes.
That, okay.
Definitely. I've worked with many angels. You know, I have my favorites. I shouldn't say that. You should never play favorites with angels. It's like playing favorites with kids. But I really.
Or animals.
There's some angels that I really feel connected to, and I talk to a lot. But, you know, Archangel Raphael is the healing angel. And it's not just healing physical problems, but emotional, spiritual problems. So I've asked Archangel Raphael to help me a lot in my life, just healing me all the way around, you know, whether it's whatever kind of issue. That's it's just, even if you have bad feelings, or you're experiencing anxiety or anything that's a negative feeling, or a sickness, or a sadness, anything like that, I ask Archangel Raphael to help me. But I also talk to, you know, Michael and Gabriel all the time. Those two they're right up there.
Do you work with Archangel Samuel too? Because he helps with soulmate relationships. Do you,
I worked with that a lot. I did.
Yeah,
I did. It seems like I go in spurts. It's like you almost feel like kind of this presence is in your life for like a period. It's like you feel this presence around you. I think angels or guides kind of come and go sometimes. It's like there's a presence in your life because you need that particular presence at that time in your life, and you feel more connected with them. And I used to, you know, work with Samuel a lot, but you know, like the long running guides for me, it's always Gabriel, because that's the communication. That's God's messenger angel. And that's how you and I, you know, make a living. I mean, that's what we do. We write and we speak and we communicate with people. And, you know, that was always the only thing I had with this man was the phone, you know, communication.
Right. Yes. Well, Gabriel always helps, that's for sure. You know, so, that's good. Wow, Di. You know, the tonight's subject came up because a friend of mine, she's a character. I adore her. But Steph, you know, she says, she goes, what are you doing the show on tonight? I said, I don't know. You got any ideas? She goes, loving yourself enough to let go. So thank you, Steph. I hope she's listening in tonight. She recently let go of a relationship, and she's the one that did it. And I know that for me, letting go is, I think I have my own issues with things, right? We all do. Letting go for people is harder. I can do it pretty quickly. But with her, you know, she's doing the whole process too as well. And, but have you ever seen a man or a woman manipulate someone to try to get back in their life? How do you continue to let go? Not want to, and I know you're going through something similar yourself, okay? Mm-hmm. So how do you let that situation go, continue to let go, and not get mad at the person, and do you worry about what he or she is thinking about? In this case, it would be you, and for her too as well. She goes, I don't want him to think I'm weak, you know, and you're saying the same thing with, you know, because you had someone, can I say that on the, you know, your experience last night? Or I know that your ex is watching you, right, and wanting to connect with you. And how do you, when someone is manipulative like that and wanting to still connect with you for whatever the reason is, how do you continue to let go, not entertain the thought of wanting him back or her back, because there are men that do that, women that do that. How do you let go? I mean, what's your thoughts on that? Because I've got my own thoughts, but I want to hear what you have to say. So, you know. Can I say this first? Your ex guy is trying to find out about your current guy that you're dating. Is that right? Do you feel
right.
that? Or
Yes, okay. I feel there's just a nosiness there. There's a nosiness about, like, what is she doing? You know, who is she with? Or is she with anyone? And, you know, and that prohibits him from really moving on, you know, because your focus is not on that current person. your focus is on your ex. So it's like you need to get clean energy. It's like you need to get your ex out of your energy. And you know, if you're popping up and trying to be nosy, you're just keeping yourself locked in your ex's energy, and you're not allowing yourself to be open to a new person's energy. That's not to say that you're not dating someone. You can be dating someone, but if you're still checking up on your ex, then you're not really giving the new someone a chance. You're not giving yourself a chance to really wholly love this new person, because part of your mind is still thinking about your ex. And, you know, I think that's a hard thing for men and women. I think there's that, you know, different personalities. They feel more possessive or more territorial. It's kind of like the alpha male dog pissing on, you know, the territory. And it's like as long as they're reaching for you, they're not really spending their energy reaching for the person that they should be reaching for. And so,
right.
You know, for as someone who feels kind of like, okay, you're invading my privacy now, you know, I'm just saying it's not okay. And I think, you know, the best thing is for them to realize you have really moved on. You're not wanting them, you know, you don't want them to be any part of your life anymore. And I think that with most people, it finally clicks that, okay, this is a done deal. You know, I'm not welcome there. I'm not welcome there anymore. You know, and that's not to say that some people don't cross the boundary to really become like a stalker, but those are, you know, the rare, but sadly, you know, very true occasions. I mean, I just watched a thing on stalking the other night, and it's a scary thing when you've got an ex that really won't let go that way. But I haven't ever had that kind of experience where it's like a frightening thing. But, you know, I think we've all had people who just, they don't want to see us moving on. Sometimes it's like, well, I don't want you, but I don't want anyone else to have you either. You know, I think
it's like crossing your boundaries. So it's crossing boundaries because, you know, it's not even about dating someone else. I know that she is like healing from that relationship, and so she's by herself and taking her time to heal, and God bless her. I know I have another one, a client that letting go for her was wanting him back, and then I said, if you give yourself time, he'll come back and work on yourself, and she did, and he just texted her, and now they're going out to dinner on Wednesday, and they broke up right, I think Thanksgiving weekend. What a time to break up, right? And then then my friend, I was telling you about Steph, and she's like dealing with it in the sense, because it's a week old, and he's like trying to be underhanded and manipulating. That's what I feel. And I'm usually, and that sounds so harsh when I say that, but he's trying to come back in her life, the back door. And I literally, that happened to you last night, right? So, with your ex. But anyway, how do you, I'm asking you all the questions because I'm not in a relationship. I'm just by myself, and that's the way I want it for now. And so I'm asking you this because I know that social media plays a big part in letting go. And that's sad to say because it used to not be so much, but now we've got Facebook, Twitter, you know, Instagram, Snap or whatever. All those things, you know, Instagram. And so we can check on our exes. We can check on, stalk people on there and find out what they're doing. And it just tears you up inside when you see someone, you know, someone with a new person. I mean, the situation I'm talking about, because you've been with me for years now. But back in 2014, I'll never forget, or 15, I'll never forget somebody I really, really liked and seeing him and I had never seen him in a Facebook page kissing someone. It's hard to watch that. So how do you get yourself off from Facebook? I mean, I always ask the angels to put me in a cloud or put your wings around me so I don't get hurt, you know what I mean? And, you know, that can be with loves, it can be with job, it can be with people that don't have the best intentions for you, you know, because they're angry, jealous, whatever. But social media, how do you handle that when you're breaking up or when you've broken up and keeping him from looking at you? What do you do?
You can say a prayer. Yeah, obviously you can lock them. You can make all your stuff private. I'm the total opposite. I make my stuff public, most of it. I mean, I have some things that are private, but yet, like on Instagram or, you know, I don't really use Instagram that much, but Twitter I use, Facebook I use. Most of my stuff is public, and I feel like I have more privacy because of that, because there's no secrets. There's no guessing game. There's just, this is who I am. If I'm with somebody, you'll see them. So there's no guessing game. And so people don't feel curious to know. It's not like they're trying to find out about me because I have this mysterious life. They can see what it is. But for myself personally, I just make myself not stock pages. You know, as much as curiosity kills the cat, it really does. It really does kill you. Like you said, you know, you go onto this guy's page and you see him kissing somebody. You're the one that got hurt. And so, you know, when you're getting over somebody, when you first split up, especially, you're not over them, and you're going to feel hurt or jealous if you see them with somebody else. Even if you wanted that breakup yourself, it still doesn't feel right to see them with somebody else. So I just don't stalk people. I just don't look them up and you know, go see what I can find. The thing that, you know, I think people use that so much, they'll spend all evening, they'll spend all night long stalking somebody, and instead of trying to reach out and meet somebody new themselves, they could be spending that energy on creating a new great relationship with somebody else. But instead, they're sitting there on the computer trying to figure out what their ex is doing, and they're just getting hurt. And so it's like they've spent their whole evening hurting themselves, you know, because their ex doesn't care. Their ex is out having a good time with somebody else, and they're getting on with their life. And here's this person who's you know, trying to find out through every means, you know, what are they doing? And it just, it's counterproductive. You know, it's counterproductive if you want to move on. So that's difficult. And I know people use it to hurt. People use it to hurt. And I've,
that's exactly,
you know,
right.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's like, let me put, you know, a picture of me and this guy up so that I'll make my ex jealous. You know, people use that to hurt a lot just because they're trying to use social media to make their point, you know, to hurt somebody without having to parade their new boyfriend in front of the old boyfriend or whatever. And so it can be very hurtful. And you know, and you've had experience with young people getting hurt from social media. It can be the worst thing in the world. It can be the worst thing in the world. But adults use it the same way, which is sad. Adults use it, you know, to hurt people.
Right.
But
they do.
Yeah. It's the thing is, that whole concept of social media has kind of exacerbated, I can't even talk, this urge that people have to keep hanging on. So, you know, you're in a relationship and it's over. And, you know, 20 years ago, you would go your separate ways and you would never see them. You would never talk to them. You wouldn't know what they were doing unless you bumped into them or a mutual friend told you. But, I mean, it was that kind of a separation that we used to have. So now, you know, people break up and they put their breakup on social media. I mean, it's like
right.
2 minutes after they split up. You know, and this happened to me with one of my relationships. It's like he couldn't wait to, you know, broadcast it to his friends. And I was like, holy crap, you know, can we disentangle here first before you do that, you know, because it's awkward.
Right.
Because it was somebody I was living with, you know, and it's like we're still living in the same house. And now all of a sudden you're making this a public display of yourself dating, you know. That was embarrassing. I felt like he should be the one who was embarrassed, but he felt like he was making his point, you know. So it can be very damaging, and it's like a weapon people use, but it's damaging not just to your relationships but to yourself. Because
I agree with you on that.
At the time, I was looking at this guy going, "Do you really think that people are going to look at you like you're the real cavalier or Prince Charming?" Because they're going to look at you and say, what a douchebag, you know, what a douchebag.
Right.
And you know, most adults would say that. But, you know, in his mind, he was doing the right thing you know, for him because he was trying to hurt me. And so it's awful, honestly, the way people use that. And there's nothing you can do except to try to ignore it and not do it yourself, you know, not use it yourself. So it's hard.
I agree with you on that. That's true.
Yeah. So. But this lady that you were talking about, like, does her ex, does he use the social media to try to track her?
Let me tell you something, what I got with that, because we were talking about it, you know, and I told her, listen, here's the deal. I go, you need to be really careful because he is, I'm using the words underhanded and manipulative. There is always a different side of people. He has got a good side, okay? You know, so, but this side of him that doesn't like to lose, doesn't want to lose her, wants to, you know, it's important for him to win, okay? She's been such an amazing soul in the sense of she has not responded to his emails or texts or anything. And he's done this before with her. And he's doing some things that would really, a lot of us would really just like, okay, reach out to answer him, you know, and she's, I think she finally sent him one today. She's saying, just give me time. I need time. And I need you just to leave me alone. And, you know, and before, and because he's wanting to be friends, right? Which I don't buy, but because she's pushing away, see, he ups the stuff, you know, cause I've seen him do that before with her. It's like he ups the ante, you know, it's like, okay, if this doesn't work, I'm going to move it up a step. So moving it up a step means that he would, you know, I could see him like entertaining women and putting, kissing a woman, flirting, being flirtatious. And he just did that, you know, today or yesterday, because she looked at his web or his Facebook. She goes, I can't look at it anymore. And he had changed his profile picture and put, you know, put a new picture up there. And all these women were saying, oh, you're sexy, you're this, you're that, right?
Oh, yeah.
And And one thing I'm going to share this with anybody who is listening now or listens later, and you and I talked about this, when someone does stuff like that, okay, and they're doing things that are hurtful and passive aggressive, one of the things that I always ask, let me see this person for who he really is, the worst part of him. And once I see that, and I'll get an image of somebody maybe from my past, or, you know, or somebody from your past, because I'll ask you.
Yeah. That's right.
Oh, I recognize that person. Yeah. He's like, I was like, yeah, that's what I got. You know, we double-check ourselves. I said, show me the worst part of him. Because there's always a good part and the worst part of all of us. That's the way it is. So when you're getting in a relationship with somebody, I know you and I have talked about this so many times, I'll say, show me the worst. And then I'll get an image of that. And I go, okay, this is what it's going to look like down the road. I'll pass, you know. So, you know, and that's what we can all do. Show me the worst, and you'll get a dream or something. Because that is lady today. She's 21, and she says, I just had a dream. Thank you for sharing that with me. I'm not getting involved. I was like, yay, you know, sweetheart. But, yeah, so just ask that you see the worst part of that person in a relationship, and you'll get it. I promise you, you will. And you can ask one of the angels to help. Yeah, you ask one of the angels to help you see it. Yeah, and it may not come in the time you want it, but it will definitely come. Mm-hmm. Okay, you know. So, yeah. Trust the angels. Trust
You'll
God.
You'll get these deja vu. You'll have these moments where you go, "Oh my gosh, this reminds me of this situation," and it'll remind you of something from your past. And it's not necessarily a romantic partner. It may remind you of your fifth grade best friend, who used to be so selfish or so greedy or so entitled. And you'll get a flash of a person from your past, and that's your first clue. That's your guide, you know, your higher consciousness telling you, run, you know, this is what that person is like. And you're recalling this other person, because however that relationship ended up, whatever unraveled it, it's going to be the same thing that unravels this one. And it's invariably true. It happens. You know, I'll meet somebody and I'll have a sudden flash of someone from my past, my family or an old friend or something. And it's like this message that's
saying, okay, this person is this way. And sometimes it's a good thing. You know, sometimes you,
right,
you get, it's like your childhood best friend who you just were so connected with. Sometimes you'll feel like that and you'll think, oh my gosh, I have this, you know, camaraderie with this person, and then we're going to have a great, easy relationship because I never had any friction between this old friend of mine. But then other times it's the complete opposite. It's like the warning bell that's going off in your brain because your consciousness is picking up on that energy inside of that person that's going to start affecting you negatively. And even though your conscious brain isn't recognizing that, subconsciously you are. And you'll have these little moments of deja vu, kind of. It's like, where have I had this feeling before? And if you look, you know, you look back, where did I get this feeling before? You'll remember the time and the situation and how it ended. And
right.
That's what you're going to end up, you know, only it's going to be bigger and better and worse.
You know, I'm going to share this with you. And this is so funny because yesterday, you and I were talking about, you know, about that guy that I was going out with. And I don't like him, Tori. There's something about it. I go, no, I felt it too.
And I know.
So anyway, I got it. You got it. And when he called again. I was like, I'm going to avoid that. And so, you know, I walked away from the situation because it didn't feel right. It was like an uneasy feeling about it. Mm-hmm. And you were so funny. You go, he feels disdain for women. I was like, yeah, I don't need to be with anybody
yes.
that feels disdain
yes.
for women. Okay.
You pick up. You just pick up on that.
Yeah. Yeah. And then throw in that you're mm-hmm. a disdain for women and a psychic taboo. This thing
yeah.
go over real well. You know,
yeah.
so
not
I go, let go. Yeah. I'm letting go before I get started. Thank you very much. You know, so
mm-hmm.
That's funny. But, you know, let me tell you something or ask you this, too, because I'm asking a lot of questions, and I apologize, but you are so good at relationships, and I'm good at being on my own, and I will get into a relationship, but I think everything had to fall in place for me, and I'm not sure I'm ready, but I'd like to try, you know what I mean? So, does that sound right? I mean, do you let
that
it go?
That sounds right.
Yeah.
I always admire you because you are really happy by yourself, whereas I am always happier. You know, it's not like I'm miserable by myself. I like my time alone, but I am happier if I have a man to take care of. And I that's just part of my makeup. I love being able to give love to someone. I like showing someone that I love them by my actions. You know, I like having them here in my house so I can cook for them and, you know, try to make their day better. That's what I enjoy. So I'm better with someone. But I wish I was like you where I could just say, hey, I'm happier alone. I don't need any of that relationship aggravation because you would never get hurt because you don't hurt yourself. You know, we always get hurt in relationships. Even if you know, they're not trying to, we hurt other people in our relationships, even when we're not trying to, you know. So it would be so easy if we all could just say, we are happier alone. But I admire you for being that because you are a total free spirit. You know, you really are. You don't like the feeling of having to answer to someone. And by answer, I don't mean, you know, you're going to have this, you know, dictator boyfriend. I just mean most people want, you know, to have like that touch base on a regular basis. You know, you don't want to be expected to do that. And I get that. And I understand that. But yeah, at the same time, I'm going, yeah, that's right. A normal guy is going to want to know where you're at just for safety reasons, you know? So,
he probably needs to call me first because I won't think about it. I get so busy. I don't even breathe hardly.
You're busy and you're having fun. Right.
Right.
So,
you know,
I was talking about
somebody who's free-spirited too. No. I need somebody who's free-spirited. Okay. Well, I need that. And he also got to be a runner. Yeah. Runner would be good.
Right.
And
I can run.
But not faster than me. Yeah. No.
Right.
I was kidding about that. Not faster than me. No, because I like to run, but I'd like to enjoy running with a guy. But you know what? You're saying something too that really hit home. I was telling a friend of mine, she's a sweetheart, getting ready to move in with a boyfriend. And he's like such a, they love each other so much. And she said sometimes, she's Asian and Caucasian, you know, so, you know, so my sister, I have sisters Asian and Caucasian. And so I know that sometimes the culture, different cultures are known for different things. And mm-hmm. in her culture, in the Asian culture, they pull back, right? And they think about things before they react. A lot of times, you know, except, mm-hmm. you know, so she was telling me all this. She goes, I'm so tired because she's doing this whole program. And it's her first guy that she's ever lived with. And she said, I'm just, and he just like land blasted me. And I thought, she goes, I'm detoxing. I'm laying there on the, you know, going to sleep. He looks okay. And he seems like he's fine. I don't have any libido right now. Anyway, he's not fine. Okay. He's pissed. And he's sitting there on all this stuff, right? And she goes, I looked at him and I go, I probably need to really pay more attention to him. And she said, I remembered what you said. Let go, let God. I said, let go, let God. And, you know, they worked it out. But he's such a little love bug. He's helping her. She's a love bug. She's helping him. And they've got this amazing, wonderful relationship. And she said, sometimes I feel like that I'm missing something. And I'm looking at her and the two of them together, and they're really not. I mean, you know, when you've got that kind of where you're giving to that person, because sometimes I've seen relationships in business and personal where it's tit for tat, right? And, mm-hmm. you know, you got to love yourself. If that works for you, great. But most of us as women, we want to be nurtured and taken care of, right? And she's got that with him. You've got that with yours, you know, and I see relationships that don't have that, you know what I mean? And women want that, right? They want that. So if you're not getting that, you just got to let it go and move on, right?
Right.
And loving yourself enough, you know. And what's your thoughts on that? Like,
oh my God.
Women.
I can really write a book on that.
Yes. Yeah, I know.
Oh my God. It's almost like this martyr thing we've got where we feel like almost like obligated to keep taking crap from somebody. It's like you don't want to give up, you know. They can keep beating you down, and you're just, you know, you keep saying it's going to get better. You know, I'm going to try harder, and I'm going to be better. I'm going to be a better partner myself. And at some point, you've got to say, you know what, this person is not worth my time of day because they're not trying like I am. You know, they're not trying to be a better partner themselves. They're just trying to get their own way like a big old baby, you know. And so that's the time that you have to let go. But that's been the bane of me. You know, I've held on to relationships longer than I should have because I just kept feeling like I don't want another failure. You know, I need to keep trying, even though every sign was there that it's not going to work out. And you let somebody continue to mistreat you, but you can't get mad at them. You're the one who's allowing that. And that's the whole thing. You've got to stop feeling like, oh, I'm the victim here, and realize you're making yourself your own victim because you're staying in that situation that's not giving you what you want or need or desire, and it's not going to get any better. And it's just not. And I'm not saying that people can't go through struggles. They can get counseling or whatever. They can work it out however they work it out and improve it, but there has to be a desire on both parties' part. You know, there has to be a desire for improvement. But if someone is just mistreating you and not taking care of your feelings, that's a situation that's never going to change. That's how they feel entitled to treat you. They feel entitled to mistreat you. And if you don't step up and take care of yourself and say, you know, I'm done here. I'm not going to let you mistreat me anymore. I'm going to treat myself better and get out of here. Then you're just going to keep beating your head against the wall. But I know,
right.
You know, so many people, and I've been there, where you just keep beating your head because you don't want to give up. You feel like I've invested all this time and energy and love and affection into this relationship. I don't want to give it up. But, you know, if you're miserable and you know you're not getting treated the way you deserve to be treated, you have to leave that relationship. And that's the hardest thing to do. And that's, you know, to the point of letting go. It is so hard to let go when you have really felt like you've invested so much into this relationship and you still have that hope, that glimmer of hope that suddenly this person's going to turn and look at you and go, oh, my God, I've been mistreating you this whole time, and I'm so sorry. They're never going to do that. That's never going to happen. You know,
that is never going to happen.
Yes. No, it's laughable.
So
and
right.
How many of us do that? Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, have you ever done that, Cherie? Have you done that?
Oh. No, I'm never. I mean, I've done that. I'm sure years ago, but now if I get the image, I'm done. Okay,
yeah.
And that's 3 days. I'm done. But have I ever done that? When years ago, I have. Okay, and that was with a guy. And you know what I did? That best thing I ever did. And I thought about doing it today. I go. I was going to send a picture. See, if you'd have been sweeter, you could have had me forever. You know, I wouldn't do that, but, you know, just because that's
funny.
It's funny, but, you know, you keep hoping that they're going to get better. Yes, I've seen the light, and now I'm going to treat you like a queen. If they're not treating you like a queen the first day or the 90th day, because, you know, my friend Ralph, he goes, if they're still around the 91st day, they'll get a key. And I'm inclined to agree with that. It takes about 90 days to really get to know somebody. It just does.
Right.
And, but they're not, if they're the way, they'll give you, the first 5 minutes, they give you an idea who they are. And you'll see it grow and grow and grow until it's like a big, big joy or a big problem. Let me ask you a question, though. You said something a minute ago, and you said, it's a failure. You look at it as a failure. See, I've never looked at my relationships as a failure. I go, okay, well, that's preparing me for the next relationship or the next circumstance. You know, if I hadn't have gone through that, like, remember that guy I dated? And I really liked that one.
Okay. That one out of 1,000?
Yeah, I remember him.
I'm kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was more serious.
Yeah. Yeah, well, there were two that I dated that I really, really liked. And, you know, one was Drake and the other one was Vaughn. I don't care if they're listening. Who cares, right? And, but, you know, Drake was a cheapskate. And, you know, we were out and he wanted me to, my friends were around and he wanted to split the bill with me. And that just wasn't going to work. And and then he was very passive aggressive. I know, right? I'm not a cheapskate myself, but if you ask a woman out, you need to bring money to take her out. That's just the way it is. And if you're, you know, if you're looking for a woman to do a hookup with, most women, even the hookup people, that's okay if you're into hookups, but, you know, you need to take her out, treat her to a drink and a meal rather than showing up at their door and you meet her at 5:05. Expect to be inside of her by 5:15. You know what I mean? And I don't mean to be that direct, but
no, you're right though. It's the truth. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like loving yourself to let that go. Okay. If you're into hookups. Yeah. Good. Good for you. That worked. But being cheap, because I could never change that. I was like, maybe I can change that. Do you remember how I struggled with that?
Yeah.
And with you, I go, you told me, Tree's not going to change.
And I can't do cheap either. Neither one of us.
Yeah.
I can't do cheap because I'm not cheap myself. You know, if I was cheap myself, I could do a cheap guy. But I'm not. And I, you know, it's like we're from the old school. I mean, we were raised where the man picks up the tab when you go out to dinner. But I will more than compensate him by buying, you know, ball game tickets or movie tickets or trips or whatever. I will spend just as much money as he spends on me. It's just that when it's a turnoff. It is, and I admit it. You know, when you're going out to dinner with some guy and you just started dating, you know, and the bill's $25 and he's going, you want to split it with me, immediately I'm going, okay, if you can't spend $12.50 on my part of the dinner, I am not going to keep dating you because already I'm seeing you're a cheapskate and I am not cheap myself, and I know I don't live with cheap. So, and I may be frugal in some ways, but yet I'm not cheap. And so it really rubs me the wrong way when a man is cheap with me. And it just doesn't work. And I kept telling you, don't sweat it. You just got to cut him loose because cheap does not go with cheap. You know, you're not cheap, so you can't be with somebody who's cheap.
I agree with you. And you did this really well. And this is so key right here because we were getting together, you know, when you're getting together. And he says to me, he says, I have a 5-day rule before I'm really intimate with anybody. And has it always been like, it doesn't really matter. Right now, that's a five-day rule. And because it gives me a chance to know him. So I'm talking to him. He goes, I'm only dating you, okay? The passive-aggressive. And because you wrote a book about passive-aggressive, and I want you to go into that a little bit, because you got to love yourself enough to not deal with that. And if you're passive-aggressive and you recognize that behavior in yourself, change it. So he says to me, this is when we're first getting together, before we slept together, I'm only dating you. I only want to date you. Okay, after we slept together, he calls me and he says, well, you know, that I won't date anyone else, and if I do, I'll call you and let you know. See, not
oh, my
cool.
God.
All right.
I'll call
yeah.
you and let you know. Love it.
Yeah, exactly, right? And yeah. And I got warnings about this dude, and I go, we're done, and I could only ever call me again, you know, and, mm-hmm. and there was, more to that, but that was a basic conversation. So, very passive aggressive, you know what I mean? And made a phone call to call me to let me know that he was going out to a party with his ex-girlfriend. And that was the,
what?
That was it. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I had forgotten that, but yes, I now remember that. Oh yeah. What? Now who does
and
that?
I was sitting there going to myself. Yeah. I said to myself, I can sit here and take this. Okay, and hopefully I can change him, or I can let him go and cut him loose.
Right.
And I enjoyed some times with him. I enjoyed more times than I needed to let him go, because I was never going to be able to handle that or change that. And that's not for me to change. That's for him to work on if he feels the need to. And obviously he doesn't. So rather than trying to beat my head against the wall, like we all do, I let him go. So what about passive-aggressive behavior? Because he did. They called me not for any other reason, but just to tell me that he was going out with his ex-girlfriend as a friend. And I was gone. I was out with friends myself that night. But anyway, what's your thoughts on that? Passive-aggressive behavior in a relationship. You got to let it go, right? You know what I mean? So.
Oh, you do. I mean, that's, you know, when people are not, they're not being straight with you, and they're manipulating your feelings, but they're trying to make it look like they're not trying, you know. So, like, he was trying to make you jealous. But he was acting like, I'm being just so up and up. I'm being so honest here about, you know, going to this party with my ex-girlfriend, who I'm telling you is just a friend of mine. He knows any normal woman would not feel comfortable with that. You're going to a party. You're going to go drinking with somebody you've had sex with and enjoyed it in the past. I mean, come on. You know, but he's putting it out there like, oh, I'm just being so, honorable, and I've got so much integrity to tell you this. When he knew damn well that would not set well with you, but that was his point. He was trying to make you jealous, you know, and that's just so immature. It's just so immature. It's, you know, people trying to use ways of manipulating your feelings, but without trying to look like they are, you know. And that was he was a good one with that. He definitely was. And you know, if you. It's just laughable. I mean, you know, some people like that, they're so transparent, but yet it does sting at the time. You know what they're doing, but it still stings a little bit. And
it does.
As hard as you are. Yeah. Yeah. When you realize, you know how transparent they're being. I mean, he was so obviously trying to make you jealous. It's just, you know, you start looking at them as kind of almost a lesser soul. I mean, that sounds horrible, but you start judging them. You start looking at them going, you are just not up to my caliber yet. I would never do that to somebody. And yet here you are, you know, playing this little game that you think I don't catch on to. And so you're not as intelligent as you should be either.
He's a dumbass, right? I'll never forget that. I was so angry. And I mean, I know women and men, let me hang up the phone, and then I'm going to change him, or I'm not going to talk to him, and then I'm going to let him know how mad I am. I'm like, I'm done. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And, and he...
No.
Yeah.
You know what most
yeah.
people do? They try to fight fire with fire. They hang up the phone and go, well, now I'm going to make him jealous. Now I'm going to show him that I'm going to go out with my ex-boyfriend. I mean, that's what most people do. They try to do an eye for an eye, which is just as immature as what he did. So you did the correct thing.
Yeah, I was going to go, I don't think so. But that, you know, I have my friend I was telling you about, she's one of them had the situation. Her guy, okay, told her, mm-hmm. you know, he started dating her and another girl at the same time. And they weren't exclusive, and that was a non-issue. But when they became exclusive, the girl he broke up with so he could totally be with my friend, he said, you know, my ex-girlfriend, or the girl I was dating, thinks I can do better than you. I was like, who says that? He's just mean-spirited.
Who says that?
Mm-hmm. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
get out, right? That's a sign, get out now, right? You know?
Yeah.
And sometimes it's like sandwiched between two compliments, and then you've got that evil compliment, you know, something there. So
right.
What do you think about
insult.
That? I just makes me sick to my stomach because I really hurt her, you know. But what is your thoughts on that? That's passive aggressive, is it not? You know,
Completely, because he's acting like he's giving her a compliment when he's really trying to make her feel bad, because he's trying to make her feel like you're not as pretty as my ex-girlfriend, or, you know, because she wouldn't have said that, you know. That's what he's trying, that's the seed he's trying to plant. And that's just the most asinine thing I've ever heard, you know. I mean,
right.
Why would you do that? And why would you do that to someone who you're trying to forge a relationship with? So, you know, generally speaking, you're wanting to give this person good feelings, not make them feel bad or make them doubt themselves or make them think, oh, wow, I just don't hold a candle to his ex. You know, I'm just doing so good to get him. I mean, that's what he was trying to instill, was like, oh, I want you to think that, you know, my ex-girlfriend is better looking than you, or she wouldn't have said anything like this. And so it's like a belittling tactic. It's like he was already trying to get the one-up on her. It's like, I'm going to one-up you, so you already are thinking you're doing well to get me, you know? And so he's already trying to establish himself as the power, you know, the control of the relationship. He's already trying to get the control seat. And, you know, that's just... it's such a minor little slight. That's what he said. Yeah, a lot of people may not have even picked it up, but it's such a hugely passive aggressive thing to say, because you see where he's trying to angle. He's already trying to maneuver into the power, into being the one with all the power. And so that's a huge turnoff. Huge turnoff. You don't say that, you know. I mean, when you meet someone, you want to make them feel good about themselves. And then
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
You know.
So, plus it's drama.
It is.
You know.
Yeah, and it's drama, and she's a sharp cookie, and you know, bottom line though, when you're by yourself, whether it's forever, how long it is, you know, it's constantly working on you to become the best you can be. Because what I do notice about people in the relationships that I'm working with, and you know, is we always look outside and say, how can he or she be different? And I told this to a friend of mine, and she's also a client out in Texas. And I love hearing her say those words, right and like, and, you know, not right and light, but, you know, she's a cutie. And I said, you have an opportunity to work on yourself now to become the best you can be. And so what is it that you want to change? And, you know, we're looking at all that stuff. And she's, you know, and so bottom line is, when she let go and didn't, you know, try to contact him or try to get him back or try just to be the best she could be and really enjoy being with herself and her, you know, in her life, then when he saw all that she was doing, okay, and she blocked him from social media, but he found her, you know, how you can go through friends and all that kind of stuff. Then he started reaching for her, and she said, should I reach for him? I said, I would see what he's about before I reach for him. And she did. And so about the third time he reached for her, she responded. And now, as I said, they're going out on Wednesday night. But she worked on herself. And she goes, okay, what? I can't change him. The only person I can change is myself. And we would say prayers, you know, at the end of every session, saying, you know, to the angels, to God, your higher power, doesn't really matter. You know, if you have a higher power, sometimes you have a higher power to yourself. And so we'd say prayers. And she was devastated when it happened. But I look at her today, who she was a few months ago and who she is today. She's amazing. You know, the girl I was telling you about that gave me the idea for the show tonight, you know, she's amazing. I've done that where I've compromised myself. It's been years, you know, ago. And But I remember that feeling, thinking, wow, what is it about me that is wrong with me that he doesn't like me?
Right. We all go through that, especially when we're younger, but we do it as adults too. It's like, what's wrong with me? And it's not that there's anything wrong with you.
We're almost out of town, too, by the way. Sorry, Sue.
Right.
Anyway, I didn't realize it. So we got to go. Check us out on Angel Coach's Instagram, and check us out on Dear Angels on Facebook, and Angel Coaches. And Di, it was wonderful because that was a great conversation. Take care, everybody. Have a great night.
Thank you.
Bye now.